Welcome and thank you for visiting the Straight Talk Podcast. We're talking wealth, finance, real estate. We're coming from a tell it like it is, keep it simple, help me understand, and give it to me straight approach. I'm Greg Cowart, a guy who's been working on the front lines of finance and real estate now for 20 years. We're going to help you save money, point you in the right direction, keep it fun, and keep it real. Thanks for joining. Let's roll.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Yet another edition of the Straight Talk Podcast, talking about money, wealth, and giving it to you straight. So excited about the topic today. It's going to be a little technical, but I can promise you, if you're interested in real estate, this is going to be a podcast you're going to want to listen to. You agree?
Sure. We'll see. We'll see how it shakes out.
We'll see how it shakes out. Well, you know, we'll introduce our guest here in just a second. I'm so excited for you to join us today. Thanks for being here.
And you're welcome.
But it doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. If you're buying residential real estate, this topic's going to affect you, and it's going to come up in conversation. So you might as well hear it here first. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here not first, but pretty
Certainly
much
not
first.
Sure.
Yeah, so the gentleman across from me is a good friend, and his name is Tommy. Introduce yourself. Who are you?
My name is Tommy Waterworth.
Ooh,
I
good
am
radio voice.
The co-owner of Ruckert Real Estate with Keller Williams, and
yeah.
I've been in this for 11 years now after a career in the military and other various circuitous routes to here. But does it cover it?
Kind of, but you know, that career in the military, I don't think I can not at least scratch that a little bit. So
sure.
You did not grow up and want to be a real estate agent?
No. Truth be told, I wanted to be a radio DJ.
No!
Yeah, I went to college at Marshall University in the journalism school to be a radio disc jockey. That's what I thought. And then I did so poorly during college that the dean said, son, I think you ought to consider something other than higher education.
Oh my gosh. So have you been like in a studio with headsets on and talking into a microphone?
No, I just I really like music, and it sounded like a fun gig when I was a kid, you know, listening to Q94 as a child. I was just like, you know,
yeah,
maybe I'll be Billy Surf one day.
Well, you got a good voice for it. You know, you and I could do like bands we love. I was thinking about you just a couple nights ago. The Struts are coming to our town. Do you know the Struts?
I don't know the Struts.
Yeah, I think I may have mentioned this.
I fancy myself a bit of a savant in terms of like music trivia, and I don't know the Struts.
Yeah.
Maybe
well,
I do. Maybe
well,
I
think we were at a concert, and I mentioned it to you, but I think we may need to go see them. They're
right.
They're an old-fashioned like retro rock band.
I'm into it.
It's kind of almost like a throwback. Anyway, we digress. So, all right, so you the radio DJ didn't work out.
No.
Okay.
And 9/11 happened like 2 minutes after I stepped out of that office.
Oh, wow.
Well, not 2 minutes, but like 2 days after I stepped out of that office. And then I had gone to military high school before that and knew that the military suited me well.
Wow.
And felt called to do something about that and join the military. And I got it. I got it all in spades. I got to do
wow.
it all. So traveled the world. I'm an Iraq veteran from 2005, 2006, and came back here after that. Had a different career in sales for a short period of time until the economy crashed. And then I came home, finished up my degree, and then bought a piece of property after I secured a decent job, and lived next door to my business partner now, who I've known since we're 9 years old. And got excited about real estate. It was fun to purchase, and I drove my business partner Brad mad through that acquiring of a piece of real estate.
Really? I know this story.
I was his hardest client, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Ask all the questions. What if we did this? What if we did that? Kind of.
And it all, you know, the whole process was garbage. The lender was miserable. It
yeah.
was, you know, like what was disclosed to what actually happened was couldn't be further from what actually happened, right? So anyway, it was an interesting process. At that time, we were Brad was so buyer heavy that listings, when he would secure a listing, it just didn't look like much. And I had a career in marketing.
Yeah.
And so I translated that to real estate. I was in the event marketing business.
Okay.
And so we just treated real estate, residential real estate, like an event, you know, marketing an event. Like the trade show industry.
Yeah.
So we're going to unveil a piece of real estate, take it to the market, expose it to the largest audience possible in the shortest amount of time, and try to get try to get the best return we possibly could for a client. And so, you know, the Ruckert Real Estate listing side of our business is born from a short career in trade show marketing.
That's great. That's really awesome. You know, do people wake up and want to be a realtor?
You know, if Brad were sitting here across the table from you, I think he would say, you know, as soon as his basketball career was over with, I think he already knew
what he wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, during college, he was already slinging real estate at, you know, 20 years old. So
I think there are people who might want to be a real estate agent, and I think our HGTV buy sell world may influence that as well, because it glamorizes the easy part, I think, of what you do, but maybe doesn't show the behind the scenes as well.
Shows the sexy part for sure.
Yeah.
It's funny, we talk about that in real estate marketing now. If only people perceived real estate marketing as they do HGTV, we'd all be sitting in a lot better situation than we're in right now.
Yeah. And we'll get into that. So thank you for your service.
You're welcome.
What did you learn in the military that makes you a better realtor or an owner of a real estate group?
That's a good question. In terms of a better owner, I'm really big on service in general. I didn't find any self-worth in selling trade show exhibits to a corporation and setting up that and helping them yield a better return.
Mm-hmm.
But helping people find home and provide a basic need for their families in a place that they can grow equity and get a piece of the American dream. That resonated with me. That's always filled me with a true sense of self-worth and a love of serving people. That's very fulfilling for me. Certainly the discipline of it. I'm not naturally a disciplined person that wakes up at 3 a.m. in the morning, but problem solving was something that was very consistent in my military career. I did a lot of things that were a little bit outside of the box and kind of carved out a niche for myself at one point. And I think that translates over. Like, there's plenty of problems to solve in our industry and on a daily basis. And I feel like that translated over well.
That's great. Yeah, that service, problem solving. Yeah, but doing sales at the end of the day where you feel like you're really helping somebody too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really, I mean, you know, on this podcast, we talk about building wealth, and real estate's such a key part of wealth for most wealthy people. Maybe not the foundational part, but almost always it is a function of gaining wealth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one thing I love about y'all's team is y'all really talk about that with your clients. We're fortunate we get to work with some of the best of the best, and there's a lot of realtors who don't. That's going to come up today. But all right, let's get into this, because we've had some news, and the news could potentially affect what we're just talking about, which is the average Joe and Mary's ability to buy homes and gain wealth through owning real estate. So tell me what went down.
Well, that's been the bedrock of our whole business, is that we believe that, you know, home ownership is for everyone, and that is the easiest way for the average American to build wealth. Just by buying a piece of property, you don't have to put the entire amount down to purchase a piece of real estate. You can borrow money, put as little as no money down if you're a veteran, and start to build wealth, start to build equity in your property. And to your point, and the question is, what's recently happened? And there's been a settlement. There was a lawsuit in Missouri, I believe. Relative to antitrust laws that were broken between various brokerages and the National Association of Realtors, all of which, I don't know if Berkshire's settled yet or not, but all the other major brokerages have settled, and the National Association of Realtors settled on this, and it's basically around the collusion to inflate the cost of real estate sales.
All right, so what does that mean, collusion? So a bunch of real estate companies and then the big association called NAR got sued saying that they were colluding. What's colluding mean?
Just putting their heads together and basically artificially inflating the cost of real estate through commissions.
Okay.
Right. So the standard has been, for as long as realtors have been around, I guess.
Yeah.
that the seller pays roughly 6% of the gross sales price, and they split that compensation between the listing agent, their agent, and then the person who brings the purchaser forward. They incentivize the purchaser's agent to bring buyers to the table.
Okay.
And that is the big fundamental shift, is that as listing agents, we will no longer be able to advertise a cooperating broker compensation through our association.
Yeah.
We may be able to do it. It's the details haven't been ironed out. I think they finish it up in June or July, rather, where we may be able to list compensation on our own websites specifically, but not through the association's platform.
Okay. So we did a podcast, Jesse and I did, on what people are paid, because it's cool to talk about money. We talk about what realtors pay, what lenders pay, what attorneys are paid, and just even financial advisors. It just was fun. We just had a good time talking about how people get paid. What's a plumber get paid?
Right.
You know. So realtors
they do well.
Realtors get, yeah, no kidding.
They do well.
Yeah, the trades are where it's at. Hey, listener, the trades are where it's at.
Don't go to college.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of that talk these days. I know colleges are on their back foot trying to defend their value. All right, so we're talking about this number, 6% and 3%. And if you list a $100,000 home, typically the seller would pay $6,000 to the realtors. Mm-hmm. Now, technically, does it go to the seller, right, as it is right now? So, sorry, technically, does that money go to the listing agent?
It's split at the closing table. So
okay.
3%, it's like an invoice on the settlement statement.
Okay. So it's not like the listing agent owns the 6% and could take 4 and give the seller 2? They could, the buyer,
it's negotiated. Two. It's negotiated at the kitchen table, right?
Okay.
Like all of our options are itemized now. I know on your list over there, you've got designated agency and dual agency, traditional representation. There's a myriad of different things that come into light through this, and we can talk about all those specific ones as we do in listing presentations. But it's determined how we're going to compensate all the parties involved at the table during a listing presentation now.
Now, is it true that 6% was always the case and no one had a choice?
No, and a lot of people would say, hey, we earned the industry standard. And that when I got into the business 11 years ago, that was what we were taught. You know, this is the industry standard, and we're going to earn the industry standard, and we'll show you our value proposition. But we've also always seen, you know, that's been our thing, because we always felt like we had that value proposition. So we never really moved off of that number, because it's just what we learned, and we felt like it was a reasonable fee
for what
we do. Mm-hmm. Right. And we still feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always been cut rate brokerage that would come in and do less for less money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They call them limited service agency. And so those guys can come in and they can offer nothing to the buy side, or they can offer a discount to the buy side. They can offer a discount on the list side. So commission truly has been negotiable throughout, but real estate agents have always held the line for the most part on what they felt their value proposition was.
But I know I've seen transactions go across in the past 2 years, 5 years, 10 years where it wasn't 6, it was 5, and it was split to, I mean, builders, talk real quick about builders don't pay 6%.
Absolutely not. No, I mean, they don't pay their listing agents that full shot. I mean, sometimes as little as 1.5%.
Correct. And they don't pay buyer's agents that much. I mean, there's a big builder 2% in our town that pays a couple $100.
Yeah.
I mean, under $1,000.
Yeah,
sometimes
a flat fee.
Yeah.
We won't dime them out specifically.
We won't.
But,
yeah.
And honestly, that company's been good to us in a number of different ways. One, they provide a great affordable product to the marketplace.
They do.
And they've done a good job of securing dirt for a long period of time. You know, as a national builder, they secure dirt differently. They bought materials in advance, and they build houses, and they don't need somebody else to come in and sell them because they have their own internal agents, right? It stinks for us when our buyers go that direction, because sometimes we've worked with buyers.
You're not
for,
compensated as much.
Yeah, we've worked with buyers sometimes and have lost out on 10 deals in the residential resale market, and then they just make a decision that they want to go to affordable new construction, and that's a way that they can, you know, buy what they want at a reasonable price, and we're not involved in that transaction very much.
Yeah. But it's interesting that they were able to get this huge lawsuit. I mean, I wrote it down, $418 million paid over four years, and that's actually a pretty low number.
And that's just NAR.
That's just NAR.
That doesn't account for the brokerages.
The different more real estate companies are paying. Anyway, but it's not true that 6% was set.
No.
There was, I mean, if you looked at 100 deals, how many were 6? I know you don't know this, but it, what, 90 out of 100?
You know,
50 out of 100?
As long as I've been in the business, we've never hit a standard of getting 3% on every side.
Yeah.
So, you know, we typically do somewhere in the neighborhood of about 300 to 360 deals a year.
But I'm a little bit on, like, why are we screwing with this? Like, I understand, I mean, you and I can really have some fun here, but, I mean, the attorney's going to make a lot of money.
Yep, 40%.
Yep.
And they colluded. They colluded with each other to get the costs where they wanted. I mean, the compensation to the people that are actually the aggrieved, I think that's the word.
That is the word.
Good the
word.
people that are, you know, the plaintiffs are getting back, you know, it's a class action lawsuit, so they're not going to get back any appreciable amount of money across all the people involved.
I mean, real estate's appreciating. You know, California right now is down, but, you know, real estate's gone up 4.5% since World War II. I'll say that again. Real estate has gone up 4.5% since World War II. You and I actually had a talk in a chat. Yes, when you stretch it out over time. But yep. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at dollar cost averaging, yep, really, as an asset. And there's 6 times since World War II that nationally home values have gone down. And like 4 of the 6 were grouped right around 08.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in other words, it's not broken. Like, what are we really fixing here? Like, who's celebrating this?
Well, this is where I get a little bit funky on this whole situation. You know, the beneficiaries of this, I think that's a bit shrouded behind
the headlines.
Headlines and
yeah,
politics and all kinds of things. You know, in 2021, before this lawsuit even came up in 2022, the Biden administration pushed a inquiry through the Department of Justice into real estate commissions. They wanted, you know, it's a bit altruistic to try to go out and try to figure out how to make home buying more affordable. Right. And so that's the intentionality behind it, which I appreciate. Right. I would love for home buying to become more affordable. But the truth of the matter is that supply and demand dictates pricing. Right. You can push
so
in on us.
If I'm the administration and the constituents, the Americans are saying we can't afford homes, this would be a fix. Let's take out one of the most expensive parts of buying homes, which is the real estate agents and how they're paid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to go there, and when you make less, homes will come down in price?
You know, that's the hypothesis.
Okay.
You know, right now there's no inventory. I think it's important to address inventory before
Please,
we really dig
let's,
in.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to just point the finger at a liberal administration and say it's fully faulted based on liberal administration politics, because it isn't, right? During the Trump administration, during the pandemic, we held interest rates so low for such a protracted period of time that almost everybody that we knew that wanted to buy real estate cashed out their previous house and they went and bought their big boy house, mm-hmm, at a 2 or 3% interest rate, and they're really happy. They're really, really happy. They
yeah
don't have any need to go anywhere. And if they did cash in on the equity, which they've built significant equity in the marketplace over the past handful of years, if they were to cash out on that equity, it's harder for them to get even equal to what they have now, because their money doesn't go nearly as far as it did, you know, back between, you know, 2019 to 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
what's that game where you get in the chairs and you run around when the music plays, you sit down?
Musical chairs.
Is it musical chairs?
It is.
Is that what it's called?
It
but
is.
I mean, we're really in a market where we didn't have enough houses anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We always had a shortage. Household formation is really constantly going up in our country. And everyone's sitting in their chair. I mean, the music's on, but there's not enough chairs, and everyone's just sitting there, like you said. And
sure,
that's going to cause, when someone does get up, more and more people to rush for the chair, which causes prices to go up. And here we are today. I mean,
the reason I wanted to talk about supply and demand too is that our friend Rick Jarvis said this really, really, really well, and I won't do him justice in it. Like his article was wonderful in BizSense, but he spoke specifically to the market dictates the pressure on commissions, right? When it's a seller's market, the seller is always going to advocate for lower commissions, right? And that's
because it's easy to sell.
It is, right? We need inventory. they don't have to sell. If we want to sell their house, then they're going to put downward pressure on us as real estate agents to take a lower commission to get that piece of property to the marketplace, which is important. We need to do that. And we have consistently over the past 2 years, our standard commission has been lower on the listing side to try to get it. And our company has always thought it more important to advertise a larger number to the buyer's agents to incentivize them to get here because it's in our seller's best interest.
So, let's go slow there. So if I'm a real estate agent, I'm not paid a salary. I'm only paid when either I help someone sell a home or I help someone buy a home, right? So
that's it.
If commissions go down, I'm going to be paid less.
Correct.
So is it true that commissions have always been negotiable. Are we forecasting that both list side and buy side realtors will be paid less in the future?
Potentially. You know, who knows? We don't have all this out. You know, nothing really hits the streets until July. That's when we're not allowed to advertise the buyer brokerage comp anymore, and that it can be negotiable. Even after a contract is ratified, the buyer agent's commission could be negotiable at that point based on the net return for the seller or any other variable that the seller deems appropriate.
So, because currently in Virginia, don't you have to get someone to sign what their portion they're going to pay? Like, that's been a rule in the past.
That's
in
right.
Our state.
That's right. And now, yes, two things have to happen. When you sign up a fiduciary responsibility or having substantive conversation around real estate, you have to sign some sort of an agency agreement. Right.
Yeah.
You have to disclose to them that
you're an agent. So it's not like people weren't being told how you're paid and how much you're being paid.
No. The fundamental change now is that on the buyer agency agreement, typically there used to be a slide or a section in the contract that said, we'll be paid whatever the listing agent is offering or the listing brokerage is offering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while that may be an option, I can't remember if that's an option or not specifically, but they're saying that this is what my services are worth. And in the event that the listing agent doesn't cover it,
there you go.
You, Mr. Purchaser or Mrs. Purchaser, would be on the hook for the difference potentially. Yeah. Our remarks to the buyer are: we're going to ask for it in every single transaction, right? And we're going to have to call listing agents specifically and say, "Are you offering buyer broker compensation on this particular listing?"
Mm-hmm.
And if not, we can ask the seller to pay for that. But in the event that the seller says no, then the buyer themselves would have an additional expense of somewhere around 3%, potentially.
That high. Well, that's if,
to cover the cost of our brokerage.
But if I'm going to sell my home and I pay nothing to the buyer's agents, I'm going to have less interest in the home because it's not in your interest to show a home where you're not paid.
Yeah, that's an assumption. The buyers, the reason why the NAR, or not the NAR, but this particular court thinks that this works well is that because we're not allowed to offer compensation anymore, the buyer doesn't see it and isn't steered away from a listing based on the compensation to their representative. Does that make sense?
But if you only get paid when you sell a house, and house A is offering you no compensation, you're not a nonprofit.
Certainly. No, and that's why the buyer brokerage agreements are so important now, is because let's say you're in the car with a buyer for six months and you've lost out on 10 houses and wrote multiple offers and you've got a lot of skin in the game and time and effort.
Absolutely.
And gas and emotional support. I mean, it's a tough gig as a buyer's agent in a limited inventory environment.
Yeah.
Really tough.
Yeah.
You've got a lot on the line to get that deal closed,
pay is zero. People need to remember
potentially. And if you go to a house that somebody's not offering compensation because that is the only house that your buyer that it works out for, however that works out, if that's the only house you can get and you're not offered a compensation, then where's your comp? Right. And the big part that really ruffled my feathers this week, I had a fellow agent, I was sitting around a baseball field, which I always do, showed it to me. The Biden administration literally asked for real estate agents to take less in commission in order for home buyers to be able to
get in. It's a weird thing to say.
It's you know, it's just rough when you work so hard to try to help people realize the American dream and to see it taken away from them through legislation out of purely out of greed, right? This is the most equitable time for a seller in the history of our country, right? They could sell a piece of real estate right now and make tons of money. And in many cases, buyers are paying 7, 10, 20% over list price. I mean, who's really paying the tab? Is it the seller paying the tab at that point, or is it the buyer?
Yeah, it's the buyer.
It's the buyer. And so they're making tons of money hand over fist because there's no inventory, but yet they feel slighted because they've had to pay the same exact commission that they've been paying forever, for the most part. And most of those, and all of the people, Greg, this is interesting too, all of the people that are selling these houses, right, they had a buyer agent. Most of them had a buyer agent represent them at the time of their purchase. So they're just passing, they're passing the equity down the line.
Right? Yeah.
It's really an ugly exercise of greed. And what it really does is it routes out the American dream for the home buyer and opens up for a lot of opportunity for, you know, real estate investment trust groups, special interest groups to come in and buy up large swaths of real estate and then force everybody into renting.
Because there's less competition. So let's talk about that. So, because this is my worry. If I am a commission employee and if I sit with you and you want to buy a house and you don't have much money and the market is such that my value is worth $5,000, dear Tommy, you're going to owe me $5,000 when we move into a house. And if the sellers aren't going to pay it, I need you to pay it. And you go ahead right now and tell me you don't have $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I don't have $5,000, Greg.
Why would I work for you? You can't afford my services.
Yeah.
And I am, we've talked about this on the podcast. I mean, we have a lot of people call us over the course of a month. We just did a budgeting podcast where the average American, 70% of Americans can't come up with $1,000 in an emergency.
Hmm.
Think about that. And that's so we're teaching budgeting. And we know that home ownership's around 60 to 65% in this country. So who loses when the buyer's agent isn't being paid for by the sellers? Yeah. Who loses?
It's the buyer, 100%.
Especially the less money the buyer has, the more they lose. Why? Because they can't find someone that's going to work with them. Because guess what? Nobody wants to work for free. And that does not make realtors bad people.
It's already tough. I mean, it's already tough now. We have conversations with agents all the time that spend, they want to make a living. They want to earn a living. And they're working with people that don't have as much purchasing power as others.
Yep.
They lose all the time. I mean, you can just see the American dream and the gap, the wealth gap just getting bigger.
Yeah.
And bigger
home and prices bigger. Are going up. Incomes are not.
Right.
Consumer debt currently is. Interest rates are high or higher than they've been.
Consumer debt is rolling.
Yeah. And so now we're going to basically say that to hire someone great to help you buy a house, which like we talked about, I mean, I'm in the trenches too.
Yeah.
I mean, I work all weekend long trying to help people. I mean, we'll help 10 families and we're good at what we do and two will win. Eight won't. They'll go fight the next weekend. I mean, there's not enough homes. And so we're going to now have more and more, especially younger people. This is my concern. My concern is if you're not on the train of home ownership, it just got so much harder to jump on.
Yeah.
Like I picture a train rolling by at 5 miles an hour. Okay, we can get on it. But what happens when it's going 35?
Yeah.
You can't get on it. And so for all of us who are earning 5% as homes go up in value, we're going to be fine because we have equity. We can pay for a buyer's agent out of it.
That's right.
But for those who aren't on the train and don't have money for a down payment, don't have money for a closing cost, right now, and don't have money to hire an agent.
Or pay cash differences between contract price and appraisal when they're fighting as hard as they
don't
can.
Don't even go there because right, I mean, we could do a whole series
but
on
it's
just.
It's real. There's so many additional costs for the home buyers. And again, I go back to the sentiment of trying to lower the cost of ownership.
Homes.
Right. Just in general. Like, I appreciate that. But, like, supply and demand is the thing. Right. But you can't, you know, and then we go and talk like, all right, there's the prognosticators of the world that are saying, you know, all right, when's the Fed going to drop interest rates? You and I've kicked this can down the road for a year and a half now.
Yeah.
Right. If the Feds drop interest rates right now, I mean, it's just going to be absolute pandemonium and the prices are going to skyrocket. So we're in a real pickle in the country entirely. So,
but if first time homebuyers can't buy, logically, you would think that that would mean home prices would come down because there's less competition. But at these lower prices, there's so many people that want to buy these homes. And I think you're alluding, Tommy, to the fact that, well, maybe if the first-time homebuyers can't buy, the big corporations, the real estate trust. Explain real quick what a real estate trust is.
Yeah, just a group of individuals that put their money together that want to go in and purchase large swaths of real estate and over the aggregate of a bunch of properties, pull in a great return that they divvy out between the parties.
So we'll see how this goes. You know, there's a possibility that my industry, the mortgage industry, will allow people to roll the cost of the loan of the agent into the mortgage. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about that for the first-time home buyers who barely can put down any money, 100%, mm-hmm. or maybe 3%. Is it really great that now we're mortgaging on top of the mortgage another $5,000? I mean, that's
seems like
not
a
putting,
seems like a slippery slope.
Yeah, it's not putting them in a great situation either. Yeah. I mean, as I talk with you today, it seems to be a real feeling of disappointment.
It's tough. You know, we talk a lot about how to solve this problem too, and what we think buyer activity will look like over the long haul. You know, Craig, my brother, thinks that, you know, generally speaking, it's going to stay more close to what it is now, and that we'll sign people up on a buyer agency agreement, and we're going to negotiate our commissions in on the buy side as best we possibly can. We'll mm-hmm. take a little bit less here and there to try to make it work, mm-hmm. And that it'll you know, suss itself out a little bit. We also think we're going to get a run. This is Brad and I speaking more mm-hmm. on our end. We think we're going to get a run on listings, right? We think buyers are going to feel pinched in their ability to purchase real estate, and they're reading the headlines, and the headlines say, you know, no buyer agent comp or mm-hmm. whatever the case may be. We think they're going to come direct to listing agent, right? And so we're having conversations with sellers. It's very challenging for us to steward an unrepresented purchaser through a real estate transaction because they're not playing by any set of laws. Nobody's explained to them how a contract works, right?
Well, they don't have anyone representing their interests.
Correct.
And talk about dual agency real quick.
So dual agency means, let's say I have a fiduciary responsibility to the list, to the seller. I sign them up. My job is to get them the best price and terms on the sale of a piece of real estate, right?
Yeah.
Something that they own. And then a buyer comes along, or I have a buyer in the wings, and I just execute a contract directly, but I am duly representing both people, which means I have a fiduciary responsibility to get the best price and terms
for both
parties, right?
On opposing sides.
Yeah, and this is where the most amount of lawsuits in residential real estate show up, is in dual representation. So historically, we just haven't done it.
It's a bad idea.
I think it's a terrible idea. And the way that we've gone through navigating those waters before is we'll deal with designated agency, which means we're a part of Keller Williams. Keller Williams is the largest real estate company in the world now. So the likelihood of a Keller Williams agent representing a buyer is fairly high in general because mm-hmm. they're part of the same brokerage. Mm-hmm. So we've always annotated that designated agency is the same as normal agency, right? Mm-hmm. It's just an agent at Keller Williams is going to represent the buyer, right? So we put on all of our signs a buyer's agent's name so that they can represent buyers.
Got it. That way. Okay, so pretty much we don't want to make it so that Tommy's representing both.
Yeah, I don't want to represent
both.
But
you could say to another person who's an agent, you know, hey, can you go represent this person?
Yeah.
Because isn't the way this built is for these two parties to argue it out and fight it out?
Yeah,
and
to find fair and reasonable compromise.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's a win-win or no deal.
But if there's no buyer agents and everyone's going to the listing agent, the buyer's not served there either.
Correct. And then you're signing up on an unrepresented party agreement, which both parties understand that we have a sole fiduciary responsibility to the seller, and that we'll execute the ministerial duties necessary to steward the contract through to close. But we're not advocating for you in any way, shape, or form. And an amateur buyer is going to get absolutely steamrolled
on price, by a professional, condition,
all of it,
because they don't know the game, and they shouldn't.
And we we've always been truthful through those processes, right? Because we do believe in fair and reasonable compromise, and that win-win or no deal. All of that stuff makes sense. But trying to explain to a buyer who hasn't gone through a proper buyer's consultation and understands the rules of the road, it's a little bit harder. It's not a little bit harder. It's a lot harder to get them to stay committed to a contract throughout, right? And as a primary listing agent, my job is to get the deal across the finish line. Right.
Yeah, so, your allegiance has to be to per fiduciary responsibility.
So my transaction coordinators are working really hard to try to teach people about how the process works when we sign up somebody on an unrepresented party agreement. And they work well, and they're in our database for later down the road should they decide to sell that piece of property later down the road. But we don't have a fiduciary responsibility to them, and we have to disclose that on the front end, and it has to be signed off on. And like in the listing agreements, we have that all signed up now. We tell them, you know, it is extremely expensive and time consuming for us to represent or to steward an unrepresented party through the contract. And so we charge 2% to do that. Hmm. It's not as if they get any real major savings off of that. They may be able to save
a point.
Well,
it's almost like they're knowing that, and they just need to go to where the listings are, and in doing so, they're losing representation and power, and perhaps not getting the best terms if they were represented.
They won't get the best terms, you know. But we feel like there's going to be a run on it. We feel like buyers are going to run to the listing agent, and we're already starting to see that a little bit.
Right? So. Okay, so we have this lawsuit. Did we see this coming? It sounds like in 21 that administration was saying. I mean, we saw this coming for a few years, maybe?
It felt like it. And, you know, the National Association of Realtors has had such a strong influence. It's one of the oldest trade organizations in America.
Yeah.
A huge
lobby. I mean,
totally.
Homes are, I mean, there's more wealth in American homes than in 401ks.
Yep.
And if you're the trade association, you got a target on your back.
Yeah. And they started picking it apart with a bunch of different, you know, I think there was some sexual misconduct kind of stuff that had happened. All kinds of stuff where you just started seeing some of the leadership get picked off, you know, and it felt politically motivated. You know, I'm not going to advocate. I don't know who those people are. I never pay much attention to it. You know, we're kind of nose to the ground serving our people and not really paying attention to those things. Mm-hmm. But in learning about the lawsuit and understanding where this came from, I did a little bit of research and learned that, you know, we started to see the leadership of the National Association of Realtors get picked off. And once it was weakened and then somebody put their hand up and said that they wanted
to settle,
to sue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, to sue the brokerages for collusion and antitrust laws and all kinds of stuff. You know, the attorneys peeked their heads up and they realized that the National Association of Realtors was weaker than they've ever been. And then they had
the blood in the water.
And then they had the push of the Biden administration from the 2021 Department of Justice inquiry. I mean, there's a lot of velocity.
Yeah, I heard this coming before it came.
Yeah.
I think now that it's come, we work in such a fluid market, such a fluid industry. A lot of industries are, but between seasonality and interest rates and the housing market changing, I mean, here's yet another change. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's wrap it up. So what do you think, what good comes out of it?
Well, I think this is going to weed out a lot of realtors, you know, that don't have a strong value proposition to the marketplace.
You're sitting at this table because you've been in for 11 years. You're one of the best of the best. Yeah. And I want the listener to understand you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're not here sad or disappointed because you're going to be, you know, on the corner. I'm going to drive past you and wave a stop sign with a quarter out and throw a quarter at you. I mean, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your service background and that you're really legitimately concerned that your children, not even really your children, because unfortunately the rich get richer.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have done well, however we have, and here we are, and we're going to make sure our kids get on the homeownership train.
Yeah. And I still believe everybody should be working towards that end.
Well,
right?
It is one of the mottos of your team.
Yep.
Homeownership is for everyone.
Yeah.
And this ruling, and I hope the listener understands, really potentially throws that into question.
Yeah.
Because or
it's under attack, no doubt.
Or we should expect realtors to be nuns, but even nuns make a living. I mean, you should not serve somebody and not get paid for it.
It's not a nonprofit, right?
It's not a nonprofit.
It just isn't. And maybe there's some nonprofits that stand up in a way to
help
support in some form or fashion, right? The first time home buyers that don't have enough that are, you know, especially the veteran community right now. Can I say shit show? Because it is.
Yeah, you can say what you want.
Yeah, I mean, it just really feels like it because they can't pay anymore on a, you know this better than
per
I do.
Per the rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot, that's correct. Even if you wanted to pay your realtor, you're not allowed to.
Yeah.
By the terms of the VA loan. Now, clearly that'll change, and the mortgage industry will have to get this head around this, and we're at the front end, and we'll see if this will work out. I mean, there will be realtors in 2026 and 2030. I know how hard you guys work. Let's also mention, you're working evenings, you're working weekends, you're on call all the time, you're fighting for your customer, and the reason you're paid commission is because you only paid when your client wins.
Yep.
And when we take the two professional realtors fighting for their clients and equaling a fair deal away and turn the power over to one side, that cannot be good for the buyers who can't afford to pay the top realtors.
It's not good for anybody. It really isn't good for anybody. If a buyer loses purchasing power when they have to pay additional fees, so a seller's not going to net that return, right? They're thinking, does a seller want to make take an offer 3% less because he doesn't have to pay comp? No, he still wants 6% over list price, right?
And right now, well, there may be enough homes that works, but you're right. The market changes too, and yeah. Well, welcome to just a real mess.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't like to end on anything on a negative note, right? I think the opportunity exists for real estate agents to show their value proposition through listing performance, to securing more listings, to getting more listings to the marketplace. Like, if you want to try to stave off the negative impacts of supply and demand, then we got to get some damn inventory in the marketplace.
Right? Yeah.
The pros got to show up and go to work. And that's what we're talking about internally in our team is like, let's go get some more listing opportunity and give buyers something to go after. And they need it in every category of the marketplace, you know, certainly at the first time home buyer market, but nothing moves in our marketplace until the top starts moving. When the top moves, then everybody moves up and vacates their lower station.
Yeah. And you know, we're now a couple years out of people having these 2% and 3% interest rates. I just had a couple, Jess and Mark, talk to this morning. They just went under contract last night and they're leaving their 2.75, but it was a home they don't like.
Mm.
It didn't fit their growing family and they needed to move and they're having to take a higher payment.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we were able to show them through it.
Sure.
And I mean, it's going to take good financial professionals, good realtors showing the seller that I know you have a low interest rate, but there's a lot more to life than an interest rate. And you got to live in a home you like.
Yeah. And you have to find the people that need to move, right? That's the ticket on the listing side is like, you have to understand discretionary buys are less likely. I mean, they happen. I met a couple at an open house this past weekend that were not happy with the house that they were in. Their kids are leaving and they wanted to come to a different area closer to things that matter to them.
Yeah. Right?
People still desire quality of life and they have equity and they can afford to do it. Some people, you know, especially in the top end of the marketplace, a lot of people can still pay cash and there's a lot of cash in the marketplace too. And those buyers win all the time.
That's right. And I think that's what we know is that we work so hard for the lower price point buyer. There's so few of those homes, and as hard as we work, at least we were compensated.
Yeah.
But now to think that you're supposed to work for them and per the administration's request or the greed of the seller who wants to keep all the money, that you wouldn't be compensated, clearly people are going to choose not to work with those people. And
and
you know, the first-time home buyers and the have-nots lose.
We're going to keep on keeping on the same way that we always have. We think we've got a strong value proposition for the marketplace. And if you don't have, if you're an agent, you don't have a strong value proposition to the marketplace, you know, you're looking at getting professional really quickly and understanding what makes you the best in the world at what you do, or looking at doing something different.
Yeah. Your job got harder.
It did.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, you know, I don't mind. Nobody at Ruckert Real Estate is scared to go to work.
Yeah.
You know, we like work. We like service. We love to win, right? All of those things are still there. And we still love to serve buyers too, right? If you don't feel like your agent's going to work for you and get you into a house, you can pick up the telephone or look on your mobile device and find Ruckert Real Estate and give us a buzz because we'll get after it.
So we, here we go. I mean, is this happening now?
Yeah, we're having these conversations
so
daily.
The world has changed.
Yeah, it hasn't shifted off of its axis yet, but people are curious.
Well, it's getting, I was in my mortgage team meeting this morning, and we're even trying to talk about how we're going to deal with this on our side. I mean, we're really going to be in kind of a junky 6 months here. So, dear listener, if you're thinking about selling or buying real estate between kind of May of 24 and probably November, this hasn't quite been worked out or thought through.
No, and it won't be out until July, right? And I'm more of a functional curmudgeon for the most part. I do show up with a lot of optimism, but my inherent nature is to be more skeptical. I don't think that the lawsuit is going to be agreed to, or the settlement is going to be agreed to wholesale. I think they're going to make it harder for us to advertise commission, right? Buyer brokerage compensation. I think they're going to make it a little bit more challenging for us to do that. And I think it's going to be almost done exclusively behind closed doors. You know, and that's speculation at best. But whatever it is, we'll figure it out. If we got to pick up a telephone and call, you know, call my buddy across town and say, hey, bud, you guys, your seller offer comp on that? You know, we'll figure it out. We'll sort that out.
Well, you know, I think that we started off by talking about the NAR settlement, and no matter whether you're buying a home right now or not, this is something you need to know about. Do you agree?
No.
I mean, you know, if 65% of people own homes, 65% of Americans need to know about this. And of the ones who don't own, probably another 20% would like to own a home.
Sure.
So, I mean, we're talking about 85% of the American population needs to understand that this is people's largest asset. And you guys are total pros killers trained to help people get a good deal and get good terms in buying a home. And when your compensation's affected, the whole rules of the game have all gotten switched around.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's frustrating, but it's not the end of the world. We'll get through it.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll certainly get
through it. All the more reason to hire a great pro who's willing to have these conversations up front. Tell the listener who you are and how they can reach you, Tommy.
So Tommy Waterworth, Ruckert Real Estate.
Awesome.
RuckertRE.com is our web address. We'll have a new website up for you to land there soon, and it'll be pretty and all that fun stuff.
What is your email address?
Tommy, T-O-M-M-Y, at Ruckert, R-U-C-K-A-R-T. RE for realestate.com.
So, listening audience, if you're an agent, if you're a home buyer, if you're looking to have a conversation with someone like Tommy, that's how you reach him.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And if you're an agent, feel free to come to our listings. We're still going to still work hard to make sure that you're compensated on the other side. And maybe somebody will sue me for collusion for saying that, but I don't give a damn. Come on, get it.
No, it's all about, I mean, if this is how you're paid, it's important enough to talk about. I mean,
I care about holding the line, right?
I go in a store, if I want to buy a bag of chips, it tells me the price.
That's right.
You know, I mean, anytime, and I'm concerned, you try to put things underground, that's not going to work either. I mean, we all need to know a price when we go buy something. Yeah. So, we got a long way to go, but hey, thanks for talking to the audience and kind of explaining some of these words like NAR and decoupling and dual agency. And I think that most of the audience here is going to be buying a house in the next 2 to 3 years, whether it's investment property or, and they need to know this. So
yeah, just certainly investment properties. If you're an investor that's cash strong, you've got a big opportunity in the marketplace, right? The prices might not be what you want because they're higher, but man, just wait, because appreciation is going to keep on cranking.
Yeah, so we got a long way to go before we catch up with household formation, for sure. Well, thank you, my friend, for coming on. Listener, hope you enjoyed this. Hey, you're going to be at a party, and someone's going to bring up the NAR realtor settlement, and you're going to be able to speak in a lot more educated way, not just the headlines, because I'm seeing the headlines really missing this.
No, they're all over the place.
You know, hearing it directly from someone who's got your experience.
Go talk to a pro. If you're a buyer. A buyer or a seller, go talk to a pro.
Yeah, and if someone's in another area too, they can call you and you can put them in touch with another pro. I mean, Keller's great.
100%.
We love working with you guys. You're total, I mean, like you said, the largest and best in town. So either way, listener, if you need to reach me, it's gregcoward.com. Happy to answer your questions. Thanks for hanging out and talking real estate. And thanks for being a part of the Straight Talk podcast community. Y'all have a great day. See you soon. Guys. Thanks, Tommy.
Thanks.
Bye, buddy.
Thank you for listening to the Straight Talk podcast. I hope it's been time well spent. If you have questions, topics you'd like to see me cover, want to connect, just reach out to me, gregcoward.com. Now go make it a great day.